Hi, I'm Dmytro Švets, your host at the Start Global Insights, where I interview experts from different countries about local business secrets and international expansion experience.
One of the biggest mistakes of businesses that are going globally is not to research the markets they are entering. And without this data, it is more like using gut's feeling or a crystal ball to plan your sales activities abroad. On the other hand, market analysis is always perceived as an extremely hard task that can be fulfilled only by big corporations. To bust that myth, I invited a person that involved in this activity every day. Today my guest is Olga Gvozdeva. She is an advisor to the director at the Entrepreneurship and Expert Promotion Office in Ukraine, and she has a wealth of experience in market intelligence, expert consulting, and international trade development. She is also an experienced trainer in research and selection of foreign markets and a certified consultant on product compliance with EU regulatory requirements. Hi Olga, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Dmytro. Thank you for having me.
Was my introduction correct, or would you like to add something?
Yeah, it was correct. I could only add that I have been coordinating our analytics team since 2018. And during that time, we conducted more than 100 research projects focusing on furniture, food, cosmetics, apparel and footwear, IT and machinery industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And I know you are dealing a lot with small and medium companies on their way to the world markets. Maybe you can share some common or most common challenges that you see within this process that they face.
So a lot of companies that are coming to us, especially those who are just starting exporting, they are coming with the first question, just provide us the list of the potential partners. And we don't need the research. We are trying to explain why do they need the research. And some companies say that, okay, we don't need this. We will do it ourselves. And then later on, they will come back to us. And they say, Yes, you were right. Let's do the research. And actually, the research could save time and money. I have an example, actually. It was a company working in restaurant business in Kyiv. And they were planning to establish a restaurant in Warsaw. And they decided that they don't need additional research of consumers in Warsaw because They made an assumption that Polish people in Warsaw have the same consumer behaviors as Ukrainian people in Kyiv towards cafes and restaurants. So they based all their financial estimation on this assumption. And actually, they were wrong. It's completely different because Ukrainian consumers, they go to the cafe and restaurants like having a small celebration. They order a lot. Although in Poland, in Warsaw, consumers went on a business dinner, business lunch, or alone and ordered less than in Ukrainian markets. So Their financial estimation was wrong. Of course, when you have a big financial cushion and you can spend it on this, it's okay. But this is an example why you need to research beforehand.
Coming back to this perception, that market research is quite hard and long-term task. Maybe you have some framework. How do you research markets that show that it is not so hard and it can be done in more simpler way?
Yeah, sure. First, what we tell to our clients is that you're not alone. Somebody has already done a lot of research, and this could cover also your sphere. For example, first thing what we propose to do is to search who can help you. And of course, it's us, Entrepreneurship and Expert Promotion Office, Chamber of Commerce, your sectoral associations, they could already have some information on the market you are focusing on. And a second thing we would like to propose to the companies is to start with a desk research or secondary research. So you look for information that is already out there on internet, public resources, and it's not actually quite hard. There are a lot of resources already available, and we propose it to do it in several steps. First, you need to look on the market, market size, market potential, are there any economic or political trends that could influence your market? Second one is consumers. What are the behavior of consumers? How they differ from your country? What are the current trends? What are the demographic situation with the consumers? The next one is competitors. What are the products or services do they provide? What is the range of these products or services? What are their weak and strong points? What certificates do they have? How they sell their products or services, and so on. And of course, market barriers. So it could be tariffs, import tariffs, it could be quotas, it could be legislation, it could be additional voluntary standards, and it could be cultural differences between the countries you're focusing in and your country. And a lot of information on these topics are already available free of charge. You just need to find it, and we are always recommending to develop your library of resources that you will be tracking constantly.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like a piece of cake, yeah. Just gather this information and that's it. But and actually, what you're talking about, yes, is to get help from somebody that is already dealing within this field.
Sure.
And I know that your office in Ukraine is quite young, yeah, comparing to other countries. But still, you are helping a lot to businesses to understand other markets and to also select focus markets, yeah, because this is also one of the important steps that companies should do, because we have about 200 countries, mm-hmm. yeah, in the world that are acting in export-import activities, and how to understand that you should be focused on some of them. Because in my practice also, companies are coming and saying that we will sell everywhere at once. Yes, that's where the client will come from, then we will sell it to this country. And then they do not realize that this requires a lot of resources, and you should be focused on that. I know that you also talk a lot to other export promotion offices in other countries. Maybe you can advise these offices as the resources also, yeah, to look for the information. At least what I use. Yeah, I use ExportGov in the United States. Yeah, so they publish a lot of information. The office of export promotion in Australia is also quite good. Yeah. What else? What can you advise from this conversation with other expert promotion offices?
Yeah, so basically our services actually emerge and developed through communication with this European trade promotion organization. So we looked at their experience, what they've done, and didn't work, what challenges do they have with the clients. And I would say that we have the same challenges in terms of companies, especially small companies and starters in exporting. So they have the same issue with clients coming to them and saying that I will export everywhere, or a small craft company saying I would like to export to the US because it's the biggest market. So mm-hmm. for sure, we and they also propose companies to focus on one market before going to another and scaling their export activities.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we use the resources you mentioned. I also use the resources of other organizations. For example, there are a lot of import promotion organizations in Europe. For example, mm-hmm. Open Trade Gate Sweden, they have some research on Swedish market. CBI EU, they have a lot of resources on European markets as a whole and comparing different countries. And they have not only information about demand, about regulation, but also tips and articles how to find a buyer within the European market, how to prepare yourself and so on. But of course, there are some resources from trade promotion organization. I personally, apart from US, really like UK resource, great.go.uk. They have a lot of expert tests and articles, guides. And of course, as US, they have information about each countries and potential niches in each countries. This is what we're actually trying to do now in Ukraine. We also have information on 50 countries right now. We expand in every month. So we just added main retailers in each. And of course, on our DA Business website, we have sectoral research. So for example, US furniture market or snacks in Netherlands and so on.
Great. And coming back to country selection, yeah, so do you have any tips on that? Is there kind of a magic wand or something, some tips that can do this simpler, how to understand what country would be your potential focus country with the biggest potential for your product or services?
I would say that there is no magic wand, but of course there are tips. So we have a model that we use on how to choose the priority market. There are a lot of formulas, but I need to tell you that this research should be combined always with your expert readiness of the company. So, of course, you rely on the data, but also think about, are you ready for this market or not right now?
Mm-hmm. More like, what resources do you have? Yeah, what is your capabilities? You should select market according to these capabilities, not just the biggest one. The biggest one, as we always discuss with you, yeah, so there are three of them, Germany, US, and China, and you don't need to research and gather in data to understand what is the biggest market.
Yeah, that's true. So it should be always combined, data and your readiness for these markets. And in terms of the data, of course, we propose companies to research themselves. And actually, one of our goals is not only to provide research for the companies, but to teach them how to do the research themselves. And if we narrow it down to simple methodology, you take several factors, and the main group of factors is market attractiveness and barriers to the market. In terms of market attractiveness, you can take a volume of import of your products to this country, how this volume are growing over the last 5 years, local consumption and how it is growing. In terms of the barriers, you can take import tariffs, you can take additional legislation or regulation or certification that you need to adapt to your products and so on. So, of course, these are basic criteria and you can add more. Of course, you can add more if you focusing, for example, for particular consumers like women or children of certain age, you can track their demography and so on. But basically, you use this criteria and you compare countries. We have actually in our organization the model that could compare all countries. But we suggest companies to start with 10 companies with the region you would like to target and compare them, and then narrow down to three countries, and then do the more detailed research for these three countries. For example, looking at the competitors, looking at the more deeply in the regulation, and comparing your readiness to these markets and choosing one market that you will be working with.
How do you find this data? So is it simple, to gather this unified data that you can compare to each other within this, for example, top three markets? Where do you find them? So could you share your resources?
Sure. If we talk about GDP and demography, we are using World Bank data. And it's actually unified. It's very simple to use. In terms of the trade volumes, so export and import, we use TradeMap. It's also free of charge, like World Bank data. And they use official statistics, or they mirror the data. If the country do not provide the data, they use their partner's data. And this tool is very simple to use. It's our first tool that we recommend to the companies. I personally believe that each and every university teaching future expert managers should use it because it's quite simple and unified, yes. In terms of the consumption, local consumption, is where we have problems. So, unfortunately, a lot of information with the consumption are not free of charge. For this, we personally use for this Passport Euromonitor, but it's not free of charge. It's quite an expensive database, but we purchase it exactly for this matter because they have unified information on the markets they operate. These are not all 200 markets, but still there are a lot of countries which we are working with. And if, as for the consumption and additional data of on competitors, I really recommend to use associations. To check association in the countries that you are willing to research. And a lot of association, especially when we talk about Europe, when we talk about North America, they have a lot of information and they are actually the stakeholders that research their sector. Of course, sometimes these research are not free of charge, but they publish a lot. They publish some information on the consumption and on the forecast, on the trends. So they could be very good resource for you. And also additional source is media, sectoral media. This we are going deeper, not in unified information, but maybe those markets that you already selected, five or two markets. But I really recommend to find the media on these markets. For example, when we were researching a US furniture market and we were actually privileged to consult with the local expert who told us everything you need to know about this market is on one website. It's called Furniture Today, and it has a lot of interviews with the expert, a lot of forecasts, a lot of information from different product groups, analysis, and so on. And they, starting from COVID time, they had a lot of free webinars with their buyers talking about how they're switching from China to other suppliers. And of course, right now they have a hot topic of tariffs, and they you can find a lot of information on that.
Yeah, for sure. And I believe that with this era of bloggers and vloggers, when everybody is launching a podcast or a vlog, so they need to have guests like we have now, and they invite the industry experts in their countries. I didn't think about that, so I didn't look in YouTube, for example, for this information. But there might be interviews of media or these webinars or recorded webinars that are there.
Sure.
What else? What other databases do you use to gather information about markets?
One good resource for us is Statista. It's partially free of charge, partially you need to pay, but it's very good in terms of they cover different resources. So they have different countries and local resources and international resources, and you can buy access for a year or for a certain period and check the countries that you're interested in and make a list of resources that you will be using. And we actually update in our resource library thanks to this Statista database. But they also, apart from that, they also do their own research. For example, they have a lot of surveys with the consumers, and they're very good in terms of making a customer profile for your company. Mm-hmm. We are using, if we approach in country that we have never worked before, and the sector that we never worked before with this country, we are using AI to help us to find local sources, to help us to find local associations, and to help us to find competitors. Of course, my advice is to always check with these resources after that, not to just to ask AI about whether we should go and what are the facts of this country. Always cross-check with the resources. But this is a very good starting point in terms of finding these resources using AI.
Yeah, actually, it is very tempting now to use for example, this new function of deep research in Gemini or in ChatGPT, when it is kind of a magic, yeah? So you are asking to analyze some specific market, and it prepares you the report for several pages describing the competitors and all that stuff. And it is so beautiful, yeah? So you would like to believe that. It is so well structured with such a good language, but you don't know totally if it is a fantasy of the AI or it is a true story. And I also think that you should be, as an analyst and data researcher, you should be quite creative in finding information. And you should always think how to do that. I also remember a case when we had a project in Tajikistan, which didn't have any information available about the companies. And we used, Google Maps in satellite mode, and just square by square kilometer, we searched for factories that were producing something. And then we were looking within local language of what companies are in this region. So there is always information, but you should think creatively to find it. Good. What other data sources might be available apart from databases and websites?
Just to add, for the desk research, I would also use some reports by Big Four or McKinsey or other big firms. Sometimes they have a lot of interesting public reports. And just to summarize, so it is international database that have unified information, reports of big four and other companies, sectoral associations and sectoral media. And of course, this is all desk research. And this is what it is on the data, which is current, and some forecast. And you should always combine it with the field research. So going to your focus market, talking with potential partners, talking with your potential consumers, doing interviews, and perhaps doing some test sales that will help you to get the feedback and to get the feedback from the consumers, from the companies, or maybe to have online sales and to connect it with the online service of your consumers.
By the way, I also remembered one case, not even one case, but one source of information that we have used, and which is not obvious, but very interesting. This is the yearly reports of stock-listed companies. Because they are forced to publish their yearly reports for their shareholders. And these reports are open because they are listed on the public stock exchange. And in these reports, they also publish not only own information about their own financial data, for example, but they also publish their strategy for upcoming years. And to prove this strategy, they publish the market research they conducted to make this strategy for the expansion, for the international expansion, for example. And I don't know how about Europe, but we used in the US, there is a search engine called Edgar. It searches through the US stock exchanges, and you can search for the reports by keywords there's also quite good information. Mm-hmm. But coming back, so to the field research, I interrupted.
Yes, so first what you can do is to have interviews with your potential consumers or your potential partners. But I would recommend here to first find everything that you can find online, and not to ask them, not to bore them with the question that you can find yourself. And only ask those questions that will help you deepen the information that you already have and check your hypothesis. And of course, it should be open questions. You should listen to what you are being told, and do not rely only on one opinion. Try to broaden these interviews and check later on with when you're already selling. Also check. My actually main tip will be: do not stop researching. Even if you're already in the market, use it to research potential new niches. And we have a lot of clients who, for example, already went to the market and then use a communication with their partner, with their distributor, to find additional niches. One example that I have is the beer company who was selling beer, and they found out that there is a product of spent grain. So after they producing the beer, they have some sub-products that is leftovers, but they in Europe, they use already snacks out of this product. So they come back to us asking about, can we research some competitors and products in this market so that we will understand how they use it, how they do this, and maybe to launch a new product for us.
What about the trade shows? Is it a good idea to use them as a business intelligence trip?
Sure. This is also what we recommend. Not only coming to the trade shows for finding a partner, but also take with you additional employees who could go around the booths, who could talk with your competitors, talk with potential partners in terms of researching the market and also trying to check what you have after the desk research, yes? And trying also the products that your competitors are presenting. What are the trends? How they offer them? And what they have, what you don't have right now. So, and this is, I think, what companies in Ukraine are neglecting. They are focusing on trade shows only for B2B, maybe because of lack of resources. This I understand. You couldn't take five people with you on the trade show sometimes. But I really recommend at least spend some time, in addition, talking to your business partners and, of course, integrating research question in your negotiation with the partners. And also try to, if you, for example, a food company, go to the supermarkets, make a store check, try what they are selling in this market, or go to the association, talk with the other companies, apart from your B2B sales projects.
Yeah, and by the way, now you can do a store check, at least by prices and by the packaging online. Almost all supermarkets have their online stores, so you can easily...
Yeah. Actually, we also have one of the resources that I haven't mentioned before. Just focusing on online stores and offline also. They're actually making photos of all the products that are coming on supermarkets, small markets, and you can track not only prices, but I think you can track also ingredients. You can track claims, for example, if it is natural product or vegan product or dairy free and so on, and you can track certification. And actually, some of our company's clients were using this to make new packaging for their products. So they choose the market, but they understood the need to adapt their product to this market, and they use it to make a new packaging only for this market. And of course, you can use it also to integrate, if it's again food product, you can use some flavors that is particular for this market, especially when we are talking about Asian markets. They are very different from us in terms of the flavors and ingredients that they use. So I really recommend you looking into online sources. And of course, this database called Mintel, not free of charge, but they have free of charge blogs where they talk about consumer behaviors and also tastes and difference between regions and markets.
I also remembered when I was doing the program for Google, they also advised to use their tools of advertisement analysis. Yeah, so they have this... I think it is called Ads Transparency or Google Ads Transparency, where you can search within the country some specific brand and their advertising. So you can analyze the advertising of your competitors and see what are the messages the messages that they are using, what are the images they are using, and all this information about the product. So it might be also helpful.
Yeah,
to understand how to position your product within this country.
We actually sometimes we're using, when we are talking about IT companies, especially with particular sector like developing a website or providing some services for the website, we were using the database they have, that they have HR tools. So they have, they're international and they have a vacancies for different countries in terms of developing the websites. And of course, you can analyze what are the requirements, what, for example, additional knowledge or additional tools you need to know and you need to have. And in terms of other sectors, we were analyzing also tenders. Mm-hmm. So government tenders, especially in EU, they're all public. And you can, even if you're not applying to the tender, you can see all the requirements. And you can see the companies that have won this tender. And sometimes actually, it's a good source for searching the competitors, but also for the partners, because these companies are always searching for subcontractors. But in terms of searching for the regulation, this is also a good source, especially for those that are not regulation and demand from the market on specific certification or specific knowledge or specific experience that are not legally binding, but it's demanded by the market. So this is also could be a good source of information.
Last year, we have been developing program for entrepreneurship in Denmark, and it was also a public tender. And our proposal was online, totally, like the whole contract, I mean, with prices, with the content, what we have been proposing. So you can analyze the offers of these competitors totally with conditions and prices that they are showing. Well, I think that there are so many sources, and so anybody who is listening now, you are free to leave your comments in Apple Podcast or YouTube or Spotify with your questions about some specific sources, and I will monitor them and maybe I can find some answers for you, or I will ask Olga to help me.
Sure.
The last for today, I believe, question is, you have gathered this information. Yeah, so the first step you wrote down a list of questions. Yeah, so you understood what to analyze. Then you gathered the source library and gathered this data from these sources, and you have a bunch of data. Yeah, you you have so many data that you have this analysis paralysis. What to do next?
Well, we as a research team always have this problem that there are a lot of resources, a lot of things to research, but we are limited by the resources that we have. For example, we are limited by time and we're limited by the quality. So first, what I would recommend is to understand what will be most useful for you to adapt your strategy for this market. In terms of when you are feeling that there are too many information, that you already found a lot of research and you need to summarize it, it's a good thing to use AI also for summarizing some ideas, for finding, if you find, for example, 7 reports of McKinsey, of other, and they're all brilliant, but you don't have time to read everything, you use AI to find the particular messages that are relevant for your product and compile it into report specially for you. And of course, I would really recommend to not forget about these resources that you found, about the reports, especially if the reports are updated yearly. Please make a library for yourself and get back in a year for this new information. And this will help you to update your strategy for this country. Or if you are going to another countries, also you don't need to again starting to find the new resources. You can use the same if they are covering different markets. So this will be the main tips how not to drown into tons of research and tons of information. And I think you should think about it as a cycle. Yes, so, okay, so you have a final point, but then get back to the research and check about new emerging trends and what you can do to expand in this market. Or if you are willing to go to another market already also, you are getting back, but you already experience in some of the research, in some of the tool and resources. So it's kind of a cycle.
For sure, for sure. And you can also use this to teach your new partners at these local markets, because they might be also not exploring their markets. So you can share this data with your new potential partner or client and help them to sell your products more effectively using this data that you have gathered.
Yeah, we actually had an example like this. Our client, who is a producer of gluten-free product, all natural, and they asked for our help with research. And after that, they came to the market and they used this research as an advocacy tool, I would say. So they were talking with the retailer and showing them, okay, you see, at your market, this niche is growing. It will be growing over the next 5 years. So you will benefit from working with us. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's the added value of partnership. Great, great. Thank you for sharing your experience and helping Ukrainian SMEs to be international.
Thank you.